clouds. Let's talk about clouds. You've heard it mentioned many times in the Word of God, but sometimes it pays to zero in. What did our Father really mean about clouds? Now, you'll remember in the 9th chapter of Genesis, God promised Noah, he said, hey, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and I'm never going to flood the earth again with water to destroy all flesh. He had some really good news for him. It was going to be fire next time, okay? But that's cleansing the evil, not the good, all right? But he said, I'm going to put a bow in the cloud, and each time you see that, you'll know it is my promise to you. So when you see the rainbow in the clouds, it should mean something to you. It was your Father's covenant. Many times people say, well, there are many things that happen in clouds. Yes, Christ would appear on a cloud. Christ left on the clouds and so forth. It many times is to prevent you from seeing God Himself. As we're going to discover this morning, God remained in a cloud many times where that man could not see Him, but yet at the same time documenting that He was there by the supernatural powers that came from that cloud. And many might say, well, why won't He let us see Him? Why won't He let us see some of these things? Take it from me. Faith is your belief and hope in something unseen. Once you see it, your privilege of believing on faith is taken away from you because you have seen, you know. So that dissipates the forgiveness and powers you have through faith in believing on a Father that you've never seen but you know exists. That's really quite a statement. And He loves that. He appreciates that. Of course, to a non-believer, they would say that's double talk. Well, be that as it may, you that believe and have felt the presence of His Holy Spirit know that He is real. He blesses those that bless Him. He blesses those that love Him in their lives. And you can look at people and you can see the difference in God's blessings and in those that move through life one day at a time. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 13. And let's analyze, if we may, just a little bit, what God's promises are concerning a cloud. And verse 21 of Exodus, I'm going to start reading back with verse 20. And they took their journey from Sukkot. That's a Hebrew word that means booths. They had just celebrated living in booths after their captivity, and encamped in Etham, that's border by the sea, in the edge of the wilderness. And here we go to the meat, 21. And the Lord went before them. He did what? The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. Where was God? He went before them in a cloud that was visible, it was obvious, and it was in front of them. Doing what? Leading them. To lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night. Which says what to you? Now these are examples for you. Is that God, as they entered the promised land, as they were in that process, God was with them day and night. He's not a part-time father. He's with you always. Could they see Him? No, they could see the cloud. But what is a cloud? A cloud is a mist. You don't know what's in a cloud. I know many times in flying IFR, we may, as a matter of fact, we did it not too long ago. We climbed into the clouds at about 1,000 feet above the surface here and didn't see the ground until we were 200 foot above the Columbus, Georgia runway. By the human eye, we could not have told where we were, much less to go into a guidance system that would bring us down and into the clear about 200 feet above the ground right at the end of the runway, what we call the rabbit, the lights that are bright and indicate that you're on glide slope and so forth. But for the human being, you can't even, when you're in a cloud, you can't tell upside down from down. I know that may sound difficult to believe, but it's true. That's why a duck or a goose, when they get into a cloud, just fold their wings in and fall clear of it and then start flying again. Because you cannot, many might say, well, gravity would let me know. Because when you get into banks and things of that nature, centrifugal force defeats your natural feeling for gravity and you get vertigo. Now, I'm not going to give you a flying lesson here, but just to show you that you're in a midst there, you can't tell what's in that cloud. I just wanted to make that point. But grasp the significance. He was before them. He was with them. And not only that, he was leading them, showing exactly where they should go and what they should do. And do you know something? From your Father's word, as he has sent this letter to you, if you pray on it and follow his instructions, he does much of that for you today. And you might say, well, how do I know when he's leading me right? When you're prospering in honesty, when you're honest and you're prospering, most likely you're doing something right. And rewards are different for many people. Sometimes rewards might be for helping the sick. Sometimes are helping bring about a healing and so forth, you know, of an ill person. Another person's reward might be finding God's words in pictographs and so forth. As we were at the old Docknoss gold mine and they had gold fever, you know. And that beautiful panel of Irish Ogham where McKay made his claim in 800 A.D. was my gold, all right? Was seeing, not that I would have turned the other down, but my gold is God's word and finding documentation that when he said this people would move and migrate and so forth, it's true. It documents his word. So he was with them day and night, helping them, assisting them. So don't ever leave him out of your life or you're going to be lonesome indeed. Now, you're never alone. I don't care if you're by yourself. He's with you when you speak to him, when you ask guidance. Go on with me to the 14th chapter in this same book here. Let's pick it up in the 19th verse. You'll remember how it was when the Egyptians pursued them, how they were there at the sea. Let's pick it up there if we may, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, don't miss that point, removed and went behind them. Now they're in the process of crossing over. Pharaoh's closing in rapidly. And even God himself changed the heart of Pharaoh. I mean, he's about to destroy them. Men, women, children, innocent, caught out on this little inlet there by the sea. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now this is important. God moved from the front to the rear. Why? That's where the enemy was coming from. Again, this is a type for you today. Many times when you don't even know it, and an enemy is closing in on you from the rear, God moves and God protects. Again, what about the death angel? This is an example of going into the promised land, which is the millennium age. These are signs that are very current, up to date, and above every generation to this generation are they written that you should know. God moved from leading to protecting. He changed his title from a guider and provider to a protector like that. Why? Because that's what the moment called for, to protect his children. All right? And verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them. It was dark and stormy to the Egyptians. It was troubling. It was upsetting. But it gave light by night to these, to his children, so that the one came not near the other all the night. God kept a margin of safety between his children and between the enemy. He gave his children peace, and at the same time he brought much trouble and upset to the enemy. Don't think God doesn't do that today, and you've seen it in families that do not follow God. They only see the dark side of the cloud. They never see that comforting, warming, basking, warm light that he brings into your life, even if it is night. When you trust him, when you have faith in him, when you are one that can know within a cloud can be many blessings, that within our Father, we have a Father indeed, a Father that protects, a Father that leads. And trust me, he will lead you in your life if you follow the very simple, basic rules. Many times people would say, well, your method is trial and error. Well, hey, it works for me. I try something three times, and if it succeeds the third time, I say, thank you, Father. And if it fails the third time, so I'm not a quitter, then I say, all right, Father, I got it. You don't want me to do this. So we're going to make new plans, do something different. Verse 21. I certainly don't want to set myself up as a perfect example. You stump your toe a few times, don't quit, all right? Keep praying and seeking his way. 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. That's a Ruach spirit. All that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. They parted. There was a way. He will always provide you with a way, regardless of what you might think, and regardless of how dark you might think it is. God will provide you a way. 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. It wasn't just a little wind that blew the thing dry. It was, you might liken it unto the four winds that bring about the end of time, or the four spirits that consummate, that finish off this earth age at its consummation. 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, I mean right down in the bottom of it, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. I mean, they plowed right in there. We're going after them. Look, they have a way open. Now, be a good Egyptian for me for a moment and think. You know, you think, well, their God is really good. He's opened this up. Let's take advantage of it. But at the same time, they're learning a lesson. This is not natural. Not an everyday thing. So their God, the God they serve, must be real, okay? An impression made. 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Now, if he were to look through the cloud, where was he? He was in the cloud. It isn't necessary to say he's in every cloud that blows over. But in this particular cloud, he was there, all right? 25, and he took off their, he did what? He took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So have you ever tried to pull a wagon without wheels on it, all right? So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And there it was. What does that say to you today? The same as when the death angel passed over on Passover Day and God spared his children. You don't have to worry about escaping somewhere. You're safe wherever you are. God knows where you are. He destroyed Egyptians and the firstborn of many people in and around all of God's children. And Satan, the death angel, had to pass over. That's what Passover is about, that Satan must pass over you when you are anointed with the truth in your mind to know that our Father protects us. If you don't believe it, hey, he won't. Do you blame him? That's fair, isn't it? It's just. And it was like a little lady asked me a question past this week, and I probably shouldn't even bring up questions and answers this week, but I will. She wanted to know, she said, I just do not believe that God does not bless all people. He blesses everyone. But do you see how uneducated some people are? What would be the, if God blessed everyone equally, what would be the percentage in trying to serve him? Not that that's a reason you should. You should because you love him. Do you see what I'm saying? God hates, he hated Esau. So you, again, the old cliche, you reap what you sow. All right? We all do. You play, you pay. All of us do it. That's one of the hardest lessons in the world to learn. But hey, someday maybe, and it'll probably be when we're out of the flesh, that we finally learn that lesson. But we always try. Now, let's turn on to Exodus 40. Let's stay right in here. Let's look at this cloud and its protection. And this being the last chapter of Exodus, which means the time they left. They exited from Pharaoh. They exited from the enemy. Because why? Because they had faith in God. They obeyed him. And he protected them. Let's go to about the last two verses in the book. Verse 36, and we'll pick it up with 36. Oh, let's drop back to the 34th. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses, this is their church, so to speak, their church in the wilderness. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. He was there. Moses could not go in. 36, and when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. 37, but if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. In other words, God not only led them, but he told them which days to move or to travel on. You know, many months, they're going to wander there for 40 years. How could God be so persistent? He also fed them and so forth. A multitude of people, and there were quite a few, can only camp in one spot for so many days, and disease sets in. So you got to move. And so when you expand this in your own mind using common sense and logic, you can understand why he would do this. But what I'm saying is, he looked out for their very personal problems, telling them where to move, when to move, and accompanied them, led them. He'll do that for you today. And I don't want you to get an overkill on this and say, well, I'm just going to let him do everything. No, that's not the way it works. You do your very best, and that's when he takes over, when you can't, because he just loves can-do people. You can do it. You can cut it. But boy, how good it is to have him take over when you run out of gas, okay? You can't think, I just don't know, Lord, where to go from here. Help me. He will. He will, all right? But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight, In what? In the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. That was in the wilderness. Hey, friend, you're in the wilderness today. This is a wilderness world. And this was an example. He is there for you. The word cloud in the Hebrew is, if I were to spell it to you in English, just spell an, our word an, twice, and you've got it. A-N-A-N. It is pronounced anan. Anan is that canopy. Anan is that cloud. Now, don't make something spiritual out of that. All I'm saying is the word in the Hebrew tongue. And He watches over us. He protects us. Oftentimes people then take a truth and they try to make a new religion out of it. But a cloud at the same time is a very natural thing. Bear in mind, God would use the mist simply because man in the flesh could not look upon Him necessarily. But there are other purposes that He utilizes the cloud. The thing that you must never allow to slip from your mind is what really concerns your Father as far as you committing a no-no. Now, that should be important to you, because that's why you get in trouble. It's when you do the no-no that displeases Him most, He's going to retaliate. He's going to correct. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to Jeremiah chapter 10. That's where, remember, that's where the Christmas story many people believe is told, and it's not true. It doesn't have anything to do with cutting a tree and dressing it and decking it that people do at Christmas time. It has to do with idol worship. Jeremiah chapter 10, to find the natural order of things, that's to say utilizing common sense to know why things are as they are, but also picking up on the fact of what it is that displeases God and causes Him to really turn your little house upside down. Okay? Pick it up, if you may, with verse 10 of 10. Jeremiah 10, verse 10. But the Lord is the true God, not some stick, not some false religion. This is the Word, not some other word. He is the living God, not a dead one. And an everlasting King, not a part-time Father. He's with you. Everlasting means from the first day to into the eons. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide His indignation, His wrath. Now this is your Father. Bear in mind, we've just finished talking about taking a tree and making a statue out of it and then worshiping that. All right? 11. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. In other words, any system, listen to me carefully, any system that you follow or worship that is not condoned or is in part this Word of God, it's not going to be. And if you're stipulated and strapped and all tied up within it, you're not going to be either. It's very serious. That's why you must be attuned to your Father's Word and think deep on those things that He utilizes to create analogies that help you better understand His emotions. Because His main emotion toward you had better be love, or let's hope it is. It means that you're trying. I mean, it won't mean you're perfect, because no one is, but it means you're trying. In other words, why would you worship a stick instead of the God that created the earth that grew the stick? Isn't that common sense? It is to me, and I'm sure it is to you. 12. He hath made the earth by His power. Do you want part of that power? You can if you're in Him, if you're His child. He hath established the world by His wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. He knows the measurements. He knows the true balance. He knows the orbit. 13. When He uttereth His voice, there is a multitude, listen up for me now, of waters in the heavens, and He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of His treasures. Now I want you to underline that word vapors in your mind. It is most often translated clouds. It is not anan, but it is nasi, which means a cloud or one that is forming. It means more than that. It means numulus. Do you know what a numulus cloud is? That's a thunderhead. That's he said if he can, you know. But this is a very natural thing. It doesn't necessarily mean God is in it. He may place a bow in it that you read His covenant. But what He's giving you here is the natural order of things. Don't worship something that man makes with his hands or nature itself. Worship the Father that created it. Okay? 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Just really a little bit foolish, because sometimes he can get on side tracks. Every founder, that's a goldsmith, is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in it, in them rather. And what can they do for you? Naturally, that's common sense. The thought is, worship your Father. He loves you and He lives. That thing is dead, whatever you might worship. And don't get caught up in today's idols, which can be even being too busy for your own good sometimes. It's wonderful to be busy, but always make certain that you take a small amount of time. Time for yourself. Take 5 or 10 minutes and share it with the Father. Boy, it is really a wonderful time. That is really, really the kind of time that makes your day, because it brings you God's blessings to share with Him. 15. These false ones are what? They are vanity, that's silly, and the work of errors in the time of their visitation, they shall perish. What do you want to be? 16. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. So, don't worship other gods. That especially includes the Antichrist, the same angel of death. He would like nothing better than from pulpits throughout the nation, such as this, in churches, to deceive people into deceptions of rapture theories and so on and so forth. Never let someone steal your mind that is able with logic, common logic, and God's own nature of clouds and rainbows, to let it indicate and seal in your mind the covenant and promise God made to you. And it is strong and it is true even to this day, and especially this day, because He loves you. Now, let's go to the New Testament for a moment and let's talk about these things a little bit. Let's go, if we may, to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 10, I believe, yes. So there we have so far come to a cloud that God was actually within. His power was. The power of God was within it. And then we observe this vapor that is a very natural thing that forms daily. Every cloud you see, God is not in it. But I'll tell you this, There are times that he might send a messenger in a cloud. You that are deep scholars of God's word, you know what a word to the wise is sufficient. But God speaks in many ways to his children. Okay, chapter 10, let's just pick it up with verse 1 and let it flow, all right? Moreover, brethren, I would not, this is Paul teaching, would not that you should be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Do you know that was a form of baptism? You understand? They passed through the cloud, the mist, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They believed, they lived. All right? And did all eat the same spiritual meat. They all ate that quail. And they partook of the manna, which is angels' food. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ, yes. But that rock also is the rock that sits under the coronation chair. I believe that with all my heart. It was the water that the spiritual water came forth from, and they supped it. It is the rock that Moses struck twice and disallowed him to enter the promised land. Verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased. They were all baptized. He saved them all from Pharaoh. But there were many of them that God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Why? Verse 6. Now these things were our examples. They're your example, beloved. To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, what did they lust after? You know, it's so easy for the Christian, there goes those lustful things and everything, and you let your own nature well up within you, and you take your mind off what's most important. What is most important? Worshipping other gods. That makes Father more angry than anything. They built a golden calf, took all the riches that God let them escape for, consisting of gold, melted them down and made a golden calf. Moses is up on the mount speaking with God, and they are worshiping this false god when it was the God of heaven in the cloud that opened the sea for them, that saved their firstborn, that provided the quail for them, that provided the manna for them. And they want another god. But there are people exactly like that today. Because our Father sent them this word. And rather than to accept it, they would rather listen to some man. There's nothing wrong with listening to a man or a woman that is a teacher, but always check them out in the Word of God. Test the fruit. Christ made it so simple. It's like falling off of a log. Most anybody, regardless of how graceful you are, can fall off of a log. All right? You don't even have to work at it. Test the fruit, and if it isn't of the Word, and if it doesn't make common sense, and the reason God uses such simple things, though there is depth within them, true wisdom is to take that is deep and to simplify it, whereby we can all understand. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And when someone goes astray from teaching God's Word, hey, you're wasting your time, my friend. Because there's nothing as important or should be as God's Word to you. Because when you're serving Him, you're blessed. And when you're doing something else, when you're taking side trips, sometimes that can get you in a heap of trouble. For example, it's real sad, but the majority of these so-called teachers in this world today teach you to accept the first Christ that shows up on this earth, starting from this point now, so that we don't get first and second Advents involved in this. And you know who that is. Many churches teach, I want to be the first one taken from the field. You know who she is. What do you call that then? Well, it doesn't take too bright a person to understand that if you lead somebody to Satan, they're teaching the wrong Christ, certainly. And it's sad. But that's how simple it is if you allow blinders to be placed upon you and wear them comfortably, to be a part of a denomination or cult or whatever. Stay in your Father's Word. A lot of those people that were baptized going through the sea didn't make it. That ate of the angel's food didn't make it. So practice, by this I mean, it's what's in your mind that counts. It wasn't long. If we had kept, if we were to have gone to, oh well, that different subject for different time, excuse me, scratch it. But people can turn from His instructions at such a quick pace if they think they're doing right. Because everybody basically wants to do what pleases God, but they don't check with God all that much, and therefore they get in trouble. So my point, the example is, a lot of them went along with the game, went along with the instructions, but they wanted another God after having the perfect God. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters. There you've got it, my friend. Underline it. That's the lust we're talking about, is lusting after other religions. As were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, and that they did. Neither let us commit fornication, that's idolatry, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. That's written in Numbers 25:1-9. If you were to read, why? They started intermarrying with the Moabites and others there and took on their gods. We're not going to go there now, but make a note of Numbers 25 and read on through about verse 10, and you'll understand what happened right before Moses when this one took a stranger in. 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Lots of them, okay? 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. That's, oh Lord, why do we have to do this? You know, and wham! The destroyer got them, all right? I really have trouble when I look at the congregation today, and I know many of you personally. If you had seen half the things that these people observed, that I mean the visible presence of God, I'm going to tell you what, if one of you fell off after that, I'd take this number 13, and spiritually I would overhaul your carcass with it, you know? I really can't understand how, I mean, you believe on that you have not seen. They observed and fell. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just, and I'm speaking spiritually now. I've never laid a finger on too many people, but everybody, I guess, loses their cool occasionally, and be that as it may. But not for religious reasons, have I? But protecting the flock. Yeah, I have laid my hand on one or two that tried to damage one of the flock. Don't mess with the sheep, all right? Or you will. Different subject for a different time, right? Love Him and trust Him. That's what's important, okay? The destroyer is waiting. Don't let him have anything with you. 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. That's an old Anglo-Saxon word. It means examples. And they are written for our admonition. It's a warning. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. I'm sorry, friends, but you're it. You're the generation of the fig tree. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Understand, they were baptized in the cloud itself. Crossed the sea. Stumbled. Fell. Of all the times in your life, now is the time to be alert and to be sharp. Don't let any man deceive you. there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. In other words, you haven't experienced any feeling of desire or anything else that isn't very common in every human being. But God is faithful. Boy, don't ever forget that. Say it over to yourself. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also, what? Also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. There is not one thing that's ever happened to any one of you that you haven't bore it. Okay? Set the clock back there. Some of you may be under some strain right now, but set the clock back 5 years, okay? Up to 5 years ago, there's nothing happened to you that you didn't make it through, and if you were serving Him in pretty good shape, okay? He always provides you a way out. Always. You can count on it. And hey, listen, I know what it's like to say, Lord, I just don't know how I can go on. I'm grieved, maybe at the death of a loved one or something, to the point that I just don't care. Well, you do. Keep your faith for what? I asked you to repeat it a moment ago. God is faithful. You can count on that. 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. That's the main sin. Don't ever forget it. That's what he's concerned about. Sometimes your little old mind might think some negative thoughts, and unfortunately many times, like, young people are supposed to admire the opposite sex. By that I mean not lust. Now there's a difference. And I don't want any one of you young people, just because you think you find some one of the opposite sex very attractive, that's not a sin. It's not a sin at all. God created us in the way that we are. That is natural. It is when you lust or put the make on someone that it becomes a sin under those circumstances, all right? But that is natural is natural. I teach that because many people will baptize a young person and say, you'll never have another bad thought. And then that pretty little thing across the street, woo! There she goes, you know, and the child thinks, I blew it. Christianity doesn't work. I was baptized and I still think she's pretty. Well, silly, she is. She is. She's a daughter of the living God. All right? Okay, I think I'll quit there with that one. God will always provide you an escape. 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. That's the main sin, idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge you what I say. I want you to skip on to verse 21 for the sake of time in this. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. And he's talking about Holy Communion, which in Daniel 9:27 in the middle of the week would be cut off. Why? Another Christ is coming to have you take communion with him. He's got a cup. But I want to tell you what that cup is. It's the cup that Christ prayed would pass from him, that he wouldn't have to pour out. It is the cup of God's wrath. Paul was a Hebrew scholar. Paul spoke colloquial Greek. He studied under one of the greatest teachers, a teacher that was respected by all as far as idioms, metaphors, figures of speech, the scriptures of old that we were reading today in Exodus concerning those clouds. And you see, when he was talking, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the good old rapture doctrine chapter, as you all know well. But I want you to read it with the groundwork that we have placed this morning. And I want you to think on it well. Paul, do you understand how that a cloud meant a great deal more to him than it would have in his teaching? When he mentioned a cloud, he knew that God was within the cloud that led and protected. During that time of deliverance from this generation into the promised land, that's to say the millennium age. And there is a lot more written many times than is said or has ever been discussed. We're going to do that this morning in closing. 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that's simply dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You have hope, you're a believer. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. God's going to do what? Bring them with him. Why? They're not in the ground. They're with him. All right? 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. By who? By the word of the Lord. Make a note, Ecclesiastes 12:7. That's what he's talking about. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Why? They're already there. You can't precede them because they're already gone. They're already there. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's the last one. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Naturally, colon, they're already there. 17, sharpen up for me. Analyze Paul's mind, a Hebrew scholar that has studied many times what you have studied this morning, plus much more concerning clouds. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Who's in the cloud at this time? You know. God promised it. The cloud that protects. You know what cloud he's talking about. To meet the Lord in the air. This word air in the Greek is breath of life, meaning your spiritual body. You're going to meet in that cloud, which is what? God's protection over us. He's going to move from the front to the rear of us at that time. He's going to stand between us and the spurious Messiah. And he's going to destroy him. He's going into the pit. That self-same voice of the archangel. Why do you think he's mentioned here? Because he's the one that places him in the abyss. So it's not unusual. What is a cloud? Also, it's a large gathering. Paul would use the same clouds in Hebrew chapter 12, where we're going to gather in a large body, but in a cloud. What does that mean to you today? It means when like-minded believers gather in a cloud or a group, God is with you. God is there. That's why he could say we're going to run this foot race and win. Because the cloud was there, which is simply a figure of speech that God is with us. Now please come into the spiritual part of this and don't say that Arnold Murray said every time there's a cloud out there, God's there. That's not what I said, okay? God is with us when we gather in the cloud. That's what Paul was talking about. That's why we have the victory. And that's why you must flee from idol worship, whether it's your car or your house or your family, anything that comes between you and God. And not that you're not to appreciate all those things, but with common sense. Doing God's work, planting seeds. It's good to be in that mist, that anon of our fathers, that is to say, to feel his presence. Hey, those things were only an example for you to look at so you could say, yep, that's the way it is. Not that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it is today. So, if anyone ever asked you if you're walking around with your heads up in the cloud, you might say, you better believe it. Or, I'm in the mist, I'm in the fog, all right? But you yourself know of what you speak. He is faithful. Flee from idolatry. Flee from worshiping other things other than God's written word in context, as he has spoken it. And I promise you, you will always be blessed by our Father as he moves you in your life to a place that He wants you. That cloud rises up before you. When He doesn't want you to move, if you're not watching the cloud, you'll come up to the door to go through and bam! He slams that door shut right in your face and you say, whoa! Yes, thank you, Father. All right? It's real. And He loves you. I love you too because you enjoy studying our Father's Word more in depth. You're one that likes to hesitate, think a moment, meditate. What would Father have me do? What is He telling me here? Because there's always more depth. His Word is pregnant. It grows and it grows. And as we move toward that day, may we all, as we are in that cloud of witnesses, be ready and armed with His Word, with His gospel armor on and in place. All right, Father, we thank You for Your Word, for Your truth. We thank You, Father, for the cloud and that it symbolizes, that bow, Father, that You have placed there. Guide us, direct us, give us Thy knowledge and wisdom for this day that You would have us have. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus. Underline that word vapors in your mind. It is most often translated clouds. It is not anan, but it is nasi, which means a cloud